الله وبركاته. My dear respected Muslim brothers and sisters, I thank you for you to allow me to offer some small words of advice to you. And according to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the advice from the Muslim to the Muslim is the jewels which we share with each other, which do not cost us anything. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his companions, he said, "Ad-din al-nasiha, ad-din al-nasiha." And they asked him, "Ya Rasulullah, nasihatu liman?" He said, "Lillahi wa li kitabihi wa li rasulihi wa li a'immatul muslimin wa amatihim." And most of you know this hadith better than myself. I came to know it some years ago. Most of you were born Muslims, alhamdulillah, you know it. That the nasiha, the advice, or the compliance is towards the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. The advice and compliance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his sunnah. The advice and the compliance to the leaders of the Muslims, the ulama, the fuqaha, the a'immatul muslimin. And then the advice and the compliance which we give towards each other to regulate our conduct and our behavior. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his ni'mah. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guided us to Islam, who without him we could never have been guided. I also thank my brother for his kind words. However, I like to say to you, I'm a Muslim brother who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for his guidance, and I thank him much for that, because I am one of the people who came from straight from the Jahiliyyah. And if you look closely, you still will see some traces of this Jahiliyyah on me. But by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, I was 19 years old when I found Islam, or Islam found me. I'm 52, alhamdulillah. Allah has blessed me, alhamdulillah. I have 11 children and 27 grandchildren, all of them Muslims, alhamdulillah. My teacher who gave me shahada, alhamdulillah, one of my teachers, whom he mentioned, Sheikh Dawood Ahmed Faisal, rahimahullah, was not a man who knew Arabic language, was not a man who recited very much Quran, but he understood Tawheed very well. And in 1 hour, 2 hours, he answered every question which I had in my mind at that time. And when I left his presence, alhamdulillah, I felt I was walking on clouds, and I became Muslim that day. 1965, October the 15th. He told me that day that he, by the grace of Allah, had given more than 10,000 shahadat. And I saw the books in his office with the signatures of the people who had given their names when they took shahada from his hands. This was in 1965. I have no doubt that this man, who did not speak much Arabic and did not recite much Quran, that he did in fact give these 10,000 shahadat, and he gave them before 1964. Alhamdulillah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he give me in my life the ability to just give one-tenth of this amount. And alhamdulillah, around 1994, I stopped counting more than 1,000, alhamdulillah, shahadat. So giving the shahada for the non-Muslims, to the non-Muslims, is not the big deal. I'm not seeking any credit for that. The credit is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah, He guides whomever He pleases, and He leaves from the guidance whomever He chooses because of what's inside of their hearts. But if He selects one of His servants to be an instrument for His guidance, that is the one He selects, and from that person will come the water like the faucet returns. My discussion with you today, and my advice to you today, my brothers, is about the responsibility of carrying the da'wah of Islam. Because Islam has its own da'wah. Everything has its own da'wah. The dunya has a da'wah. The hellfire has a da'wah. The jannah has a da'wah. Everything has its own da'wah. And the da'wah of Islam is the da'wah to tawheed. And this da'wah of Islam has basically three parts that we have to keep in mind. It is the da'wah of the Qur'an. And the message of the Qur'an comes to us in three parts all the time. It is the da'wah calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the da'wah reminding us about the risalah of the anbiya which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent in throughout the earth. And it is the da'wah calling towards the akhirah. These are the three messages of the Qur'an. And sometimes we Muslims, because Islam is in us, and we are practicing it on a daily basis, we, more than anyone else, forget the importance of the da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the Muslim for da'wah. As He created the trees, to create oxygen in the air for the atmosphere of the earth. Without the trees, we would not have oxygen. He created the Muslim, His servants, for the da'wah. Because without His servants giving the da'wah, the unbelievers, they would not have any chance to understand the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes we are impressed with the civilization and the institutions and the resources and the technology of the unbelievers, and we are so impressed by them that we do not give the da'wah because we are busy enjoying what they have. But I want to remind you, brothers, and remind myself, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He cared anything about this dunya and what is in it, even if the value of this dunya had the value of the wings on a mosquito, Allah would not give the unbelievers a drink of water. He would not give them even a drink of water. But the dunya has no meaning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He told us, Al-akhiratu khayrun wa abqa. And it is necessary for a Muslim, in the face of the Fir'aunic people and their institutions and their resources and their boon throughout the earth and their threats and their intimidations and their education and their technology, it is necessary for the Muslim, when he is in the face of them as we are here in America, to keep in his mind his mission. Because it's very easy to lose sight of your mission when you come in the face of Fir'aun. Do you, brothers, recall the story of the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who went to see Rustam? And when he went there to see him, he rode his horse into his castle directly. And when he got down from his, he tied his horse to the pillar inside of his court. And before he sat down, he cut out the carpet. He did not want to sit even on his carpet. So he cut a hole in the carpet and he sat down. They was, of course, very irritated that he cut their valuable carpet. And he rode his horse inside their court and tied him to a post. And secondly, they asked him, why you don't bow down to him like we do? And he told him, his bowing is for the Rabb al-Samawati wal-Ard. This is because this companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had no concern about what they had of the dunya. It did not affect him at all. Whom he was talking to, just as another creature, another unbeliever, whom he was sent to deliver this message from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was mentioned that they did not consider the dunya any more valuable than if one of them spit on the ground when the sun is at the top of the sky. And here in this city, you know how long this bit lasts on the ground when the sun is in the top of the sky. How long it lasts like that. To them, the dunya was like that. So because they looked at the dunya that way, Allah gave them the dunya, made them masters of the dunya. And here we are, sitting in the face of the Fir'aun and this American civilization. And we are impressed. And because we are impressed, we are not fulfilling our responsibility of the da'wah. We are not. And I remind you and I remind myself of the ayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clarify the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to clarify the mission of this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون. And another ayah says, ولو كره المنافقون ولو كره المشركون. He mentioned the ayah three different places in the Quran to emphasize for us the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and our mission. What is that mission? هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى. He sent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for what reason? To extend the huda to the human beings. And to introduce to them Deen al-Haq, Deen al-Islam, Deen al-Qayyim, Deen al-Bayyin, the Sharia of Islam. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ. In order that this Deen, this Huda, this Quran, this Sunnah would become victorious. And that it would become in an uppermost position. And that it would conquer over all other systems of belief, regardless of whomever brought those systems among the kuffar. Munafikun, mushrikun, kafirun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us in the Quran, Udu'u ila sabili rabbika. Bil hikmah wa maw'idatun hasanat. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ جَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. And he mentions, surely your Lord knows who is guided. He knows who goes away from the truth. And he knows who is guided. بِالْمُحْتَدِينَ. And throughout the Quran, in case those people who were with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and who were surrounded in Medina Munawwara by the kuffar, the Yahud and the Nasara people and the Munafiqun from among the people of Yathrib or Medina, the Muslims were surrounded by them, and they had farms and they had businesses and they were powerful people. And the Muslims were impressed with them and talking with them and taking friendship with them and intimacy with them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to them, and you can read it for yourselves in Surah Al-An'am and some other places in the Quran. Allah says, do not take the Christians and the Jews for friends and protectors. They are not your awliya. They are awliya ba'dhum min ba'd. They are friends and protectors of one another. Your friends and protectors are none other than Allah and His Rasul and the believers. And whoever looks towards them for wilayah, seeking from them help, aid, assistance, support, friendship, love, relationships, wanting to be in their company, to be impressed by them, and them to be impressed by you. You want to live with them, live by them, near them, like them, with them. Allah says, you are minhum, you are of them. Because a people will be raised with those whom they love. Whomsoever you love, you will be raised with them. Now, how can we Muslims, those who have traveled long distances to be in America, and those whom Allah has brought a long distance from the jahiliyyah of the dirt of America, you and I, we traveled two different directions. I came from inside the ground, the filth of America, and Allah brought us up, subhanallah. And you traveled long distance over the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean, and you came here, and here we are. Now, what is our job? Our job is to deliver the message. And we cannot become preoccupied with anything other than delivering the message. It doesn't matter what's the quality of my life. It's not the nature of the Muslim to be concerned about the quality of his clothing, how big a house he has, how big a job he has, how important he will be, what is his salary, what is his profession, what degree he has, what kind of neighborhood he lives in. This is not our concern. Our concern is to deliver the message. Otherwise, you would become like those people who forgot about Allah, and so Allah caused them to forget about themselves. Subhanallah. Remember the ayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. وَلْتَنْدُرْ نَصُّ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ لَوْ أَنْزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ أَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. You know this ayah. How the people forgot about Allah? Do you think they forgot Allah's name? No, they did not. How they forgot about Allah? Did they forget how to recite the Quran? No, they did not. How did they forget about Allah? Did they forget that they are Muslims? No, they did not. They forgot about their responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah caused them to forget their own responsibility to themselves. And when they forgot that, they become of the Qasirin. And he mentions to us in Surah Kahf. Do you know who those who are the greatest losers? You know this ayah. You know who those who are the greatest losers? It is those who all the while they thought they were doing good. So when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they find they have nothing for the scales. Why? Allah sent them to do one job and they did another job. They did the job which was pleasing to them. But they were sent for another job. Brothers, you were sent from wherever you were sent from the land which you came from. You were sent here as an ambassador for Islam to give the da'wah to the unbeliever people. And our da'wah to them is not any different than the da'wah which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to them in their faces. One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من أحسن الجهاد من أفضل الجهاد أو كما قال رسولullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam من أفضل الجهاد. What is the most excellent jihad? What did he say? كلمة الحق عند سلطان جائر. كلمة الحق عند سلطان جائر. The word of truth in the face of the oppressive ruler, even though the person who's giving that message knows he will be imprisoned, he will be tortured, or he will be killed. The most excellent. So the messenger, the da'i, the du'at, us, you and I, we cannot forget our responsibility. And what is that? To deliver the message. Because if somebody did not deliver the message, how do you think that this brother of yours, whom you don't know, you know the outside, and you said the sheikh, he read something about me, the outside, but you don't know the inside, which I'm still struggling with to be a Muslim, alhamdulillah. I cannot understand myself how in the world I could be a Muslim other than by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some Muslim who came from Pakistan, who came from India, who came from Egypt, who came from Turkey, who came from Africa, who came from wherever, Fulan, this place or that place, in the course of my struggles they came and they taught me and they delivered the message, alhamdulillah. Now they will get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my 11 children and for my 27 grandchildren, and I'm just praying Allah that one of them is shahid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just one. This is enough. Being a person who Allah brought into Islam, the impact of the message is different for me than it is for those who were born into Islam, for sure.
You see, the man who was raised in a family where there was a supermarket, they owned the supermarket, they owned the restaurant, they owned the orchard, they owned the farm, food means nothing to him. He's seen so much food thrown away, given away. Food means nothing to him. So when he sits at the table and they bless the meal, he does it only ritualistically. Bismillah, and he eats, and he eats his full, and he throws away. Why? Because he has so much food. But for the people who are in Somali, the Somaliyin, East Africa, you see, when I visited the Afghani Mujahideen camps in Afghanistan, between Pakistan, the borders of Pakistan and Afghanistan, when I visited those brothers with one leg and one arm and lost almost all their family, and still when they saw me, they're taking their best of their food and they're cooking it and giving it to me, subhanAllah. And most of them, they don't know where they will eat tomorrow. This is the difference. You see, one man, he's carrying it as something sacred. The other man, he's carrying it as something which he's always had all of his life. We have to appreciate this deen and this gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the ways that we show that we are excited about it is that when we meet others who do not have it, we share it with them. Whether the boss, the employer, the teacher, the man in the street, the man in the supermarket, whoever I meet, my neighbor, the trash man, the man who delivered the mail to me, the milkman, whoever come to my house to fix it, the electrician, when they come in, they're going to get the da'wah. They're going to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're going to know about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they're going to know about the Quran, they're going to know about Yawm al-Qiyamah, they're going to know of the Jannah is haq, they're going to know Nar is haq, they're going to know that Deen al-Islam is haq, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this deen into this world for all the creatures to save them from the hellfire. They're going to know this. They have to know this. Why? Because regardless of my background, my job is to deliver this message. Now, some Muslims feel that we should not be aggressive with the unbelievers. We should be soft with them. We should sit down and break, we should have cookies and cake with them. And we should have coffee and tea with them. And we should smile with them. And listen to their ideas about religion and tell them our ideas about religion. And pat them on the shoulder and they pat us on the shoulder. And alhamdulillah, we go home and we had dialogue. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says different. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَةِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَةِ. And he gives two different rewards. جَزَاؤُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Why? رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ. This is because they were the people of what? خَشْيَ رَبَّهُ. Allah makes a distinction between us and them. And we also have to make a distinction between us and them. Yes, we should be kind to everybody. تُطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ وَتَقْرَأُ السَّلَامُ مَنْ أَرَفْتُ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفُ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us this is our what? This is our adab for all the human beings. تُطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ وَتَقْرَأُ السَّلَامُ مَنْ أَرَفْتُ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفُ. Speak good to everybody. Give food to everybody. Offer to drink to everybody. Be nice to everybody. Be good in your conduct all the time. But when you're dealing with the Nasara and the Yahud, the Ahl al-Kitab, you must know that among most of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ فَاسِقِينَ. Most of them, أَكْثَرُهُمْ, is what? Fasiq. Criminals. And they use their mouths and their scholars to try to blow out and extinguish the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if there was another prophet, they would kill him. And those who follow the prophet, their intention is to imprison them, to torture them, to conquer them. This is what they've been doing all over the earth in the name of religion. And we're going to sit down and have dialogue and eat coffee and cake with these people and leave them with the impression that we are on equal footing in our religion. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. No. We're going to challenge them. We're going to invite them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, if they say they believe and they have the haq, okay, call your family, call your wives, call your children, call your sons, call your people, and we call ours. And we do what? And we bring the burhan in your face. You bring us your burhan, and we bring you our burhan. And then we see what the proof, and Allah makes it clear, that when truth comes, it knocks the brains out of falsehood. This doesn't mean that we have articulation. This doesn't mean that we have some special skill. No, just we carrying with us the kalam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah calls the Quran la iwaj. There's no iwaj in it, no crookedness in it. Had it been from anyone other than Allah, you would find in it many mistakes and inconsistencies. But it is from Allah, so there are no mistakes and no inconsistencies, so we can clearly know with confidence when we talk to the kuffar, the Christians, and the Jews, with the words of Allah and with the words of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no way for them to defeat it. We have no fear, no apprehension. I have seen it. I have seen it. I have been in the congregation of Christians in their church and let them bring everything they had. And in the same church, there were 300 or 400 people sitting there, and wallahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm standing here, 15-20 of them in the same session took their shahada in the church. Because they was embarrassed and they were humiliated that the Muslim knew more about Isa ibn Maryam and his mother than they did. So, brothers, we must be confident and we must be cognizant of where we are. We are in the court of Fir'aun. We are in the house of Shaitan. Not this house, it's the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mean this Arab here. And I don't need to qualify myself about this statement. This is not a political statement. This is a religious statement, a statement of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us in the Quran, He calls them the awliya al-taghut. See? The awliya al-taghut. We Muslims have a responsibility to give them the message. This is what my brother Sheikh Hamza Abdul Malik, mashallah. And look at this, brother. I met Sheikh Hamza Abdul Malik, who is giving the lecture tomorrow. Just I come with him as a consultant to help him. I met him in 1969. I assisted him in getting shahada, alhamdulillah. And I married him to his wife. And from that time until now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed this brother that he has been in the footsteps of Sheikh Ahmed Didat since this time. Now today, I don't know anyone more qualified to take the responsibility of what Sheikh Ahmed Didat has been doing around the world, challenging the Christians, more so than Sheikh Hamza Abdul Malik. You will see if you come tomorrow, inshaAllah ta'ala. And what he will do is not from him. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam, put your staff on the water. When Jibreel alayhi salam told Musa, put your staff on the water. Musa did not say for what. He just put the staff on the water. And we know what happened. And the Bani Israel, they went through. And after they went through and the Fir'aun and his army followed them, Jibreel told him again, oh Musa, put your staff on the water. He didn't say why. He put his staff on the water and we know what happened. This power was not from Musa alayhi salam or his staff. It was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when they took Ibrahim after he cut off the heads of all of their statues and everything and left the axe in the head of the big one. And when they put him in the fire, they said, okay, Ibrahim, if your God is greater than ours, then they let your God help you this day. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, he made dua, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please you save me from what they intend. So what they did, they built a very big fire. A very tremendous fire. And they tied him to a wagon and drug the wagon through the fire. The fire burnt the wagon, it burnt the rope, it burnt everything, even the birds that flew over the top of the fire fell in it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the fire, O fire, be cool for my servant Ibrahim alayhi salam. Subhanallah. Be cool! The fire is hot, but Allah told it to be cool. The water is wet, it drowns, but He told the fire, the water, go down. So for us, Allah will make easy giving the da'wah in America. We have to have the confidence about it. I witnessed a man bring his whole church, his people, to a lecture. And five of the people that he brought to the lecture, they become Muslims in that lecture. Subhanallah. All of them is trained with the Bibles and everything. When they come there, cursing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But when they left there, five of the party he brought, they stayed and became Muslims. This did not happen by our power and how nice we speak. By the qudr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what can you brothers do? What can we do? Maybe you say, brother, I don't know the Bible. Brother, I don't know this. Okay, subhanAllah. So you go there and you make tasbih. You serve water. Come there with some pamphlets. Sit there and make a dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give help, give nusra to the brothers who's going to give the message, inshaAllah. So then, whatever comes from that, we will all join in the benefit of it. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever joins a good action will receive the benefit of it like the one who does it with nothing being decreased from it. And the one who joins a bad action or invites towards a bad action will also receive the same as the one who does it with nothing being decreased from it. If we do nothing, if we stay in our homes, we'll get nothing. But if you come, you'll get the support. And the victory is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't go in with any thought what we will do. All we know, Allah ordered us to do this. This is our job. I'm delivering the mail, and Allah guide whomever He wills. So we're asking you, brothers, to join us, because you have your job, we have our job, and together we can all do the job. I know. If I come to the countries where you come from, maybe I will not do the job as well as you, because you know that place. You know those people. You know how they talk. You know their thinking, everything. Here in America, we know these people. We know how they think. We know how they talk. When we came from them, we're the same like them, except Allah, He guided us. They cannot hide from us. They cannot play any tricks on us. And we don't care about any fear of what they will do, because the worst of what they intended, they already did. But in spite of that, Allah made us Muslim, alhamdulillah. So, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guidance for me and for you. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He make our tongues loose in delivering His message. And I advise you brothers that you must make the intention within yourself once a day, 10 minutes, to give da'wah to someone. 10 minutes a day. And in the course of 1 year, maybe you will give at least one shahada. This way. You work on somebody 10 minutes a day. But if you're in America 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and you're benefiting, you have nice house, nice job, big car, big family, nice clothes, bank account, you have everything, you're going back and forth to Hajj and back and forth to your family, and you never give any shahada while you're here, you should be ashamed of yourself. Because why? You forgot your message. You forgot why you came here. Allah did not send you here to fill your pockets and your hearts with dunya. He sent you here to give this message because whenever Allah, He sends some believers in some part of the world where the message is not heard, He sends them for no foolish purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send you here in America, North America, in this Western Hemisphere for some foolish empty purpose. And your feelings and your desires and your intentions has nothing to do with the purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. You must conform yourselves to the purpose of Allah's deen and not ask the deen to conform itself to your desires and your wants. And brothers, keep this in mind. If you don't give the da'wah, if you don't support the da'wah, if you don't spend something in the way of Allah for the da'wah, your time, your money, or something, some calamity is going to come to you in this dunya through your family, through yourselves, through your wealth, through your homes, or something. Why? Because Allah is not going to leave you with this great job and you abandon that job for the dunya. He's not going to leave you like that. You will see. In your children, in your wives, in your husbands, in your family members, you're going to see the loss. And you're seeing it already. I know it. You know what America has done to our families, regardless of the fact that we have nice massages all over America. MashaAllah. But it did not save us from the fitna and the facade and the corruption of America. One of the ways that we have to insulate ourselves is the work of da'wah. And one of the ways that we have of gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though we do some wrong things, is the da'wah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in a good and a sound hadith, he told us, أَتْبِعُ السَّيِّعَاتْ بِالْحَسَنَةِ تَمْهُهَا وَخَالِكَ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Follow up a bad deed with a good one, and that will wipe it out. And then after that, have good behavior towards people. So brothers, you know and I know that there are many things that we do which is dealing with sayyat. Even we mix our money with sayyat. We are fixing our eyes upon sayyat, and we are mingling with the people of sayyat, and we are doing things even that we don't intend to do. It come out sayyat. How do you straighten this out? Follow it up with a good deed. Spend something in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dedicate yourself to do some da'wah every day. Do some ta'aleem. Do some da'wah. Do some tarbiyat al-Islam. Throw a stone. Print a booklet. Do something in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala other than benefit from what He has given you in the dunya. And we ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accept our efforts, inshaAllah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgive us our mistakes, inshaAllah. And brothers, if I said something which is wrong, this is my mistake. If I said something which is right, it's your obligation to respond. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He increase me in iman and increase us in iman, and He increase us also in knowledge, and that He make us of those people who are worthy to carry this message of Islam. وأقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم يا الله غفور رحيم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Our brothers may have some questions. Perhaps this is what Brother Sharif suggested as well.
Jazakallah khair.
Any questions?
Brothers, let me say this about the... You have to have some questions. And you cannot leave the situation like that. Because, first of all, I'm talib. And most of you have more knowledge than me. I'm sure of that. Because I just came into Islam yesterday. Most of you come from families where there's ulama, fuqaha, shuyukh, and have many, much knowledge of Quran and other things. So just I came to offer something which most of you already know, but just I came to offer this because somebody asked me to. And I need you to advise me, just as I'm advising you, and to clarify something. If there's something you don't understand that I said, you need to ask so I can clarify the issue, inshallah ta'ala. So please ask some questions, brother.
Yes, we have a brother here.
Jazakallah.
I'm not sure if it's a question, but Jazakallah khair.
Alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair.
The brother's question was, those people who decide to approach the issue of da'wah through dialogue, non-confrontational dialogue, where there's no hostility felt from the people, that they should be given credit. And you're right, but the credit will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we are concerned about is what is the minhaj of the da'wah of the Salafiyah. Because we have an example. Da'wah is not like a cookbook. You make a recipe, I make a recipe. No. The da'wah has itself a minhaj. Did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the question. Did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did he arrange dialogue with the Jews and the Christians of Medina? Meaning they sit down together and he listened to what they had to say, and they listened to what he had to say, and after that he left them with an appreciation of what they had to say, and they left with an appreciation of what he had to say. In a way, you're correct. You're correct. In a way, yes. But the difference was that he never said anything to them other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to say. That's number one. And secondly, he accepted from them no compromises, nor he considered them to have any legitimacy about what they was believing. And thirdly, he extended to them the choice to come into Islam and be safe from the jihad when it comes. He made it clear to them. He gave them the option right there. He did not leave them to think in their minds that they had the same status in Medina as the Muslims had to continue their preaching and their teaching. No. So, I say that yes, there are many, and one of the people that I have great respect for who have done a lot of work in this is like one of the brothers I have sat with for a long time, Dr. Jamal Badawi. He's one of the people that I respect a lot in this field. But alhamdulillah, he will get the credit for what he gets the credit, and he is a human being with his own limitations. I said to you that the manner of the Christians and the Jews, the ones whom we want to affect, not the ones in the shops or the one necessarily who live next door to you, but the ones who plan and plot, and the ones who part of the government, and the ones who part of the church, and the ones who themselves have a very clear agenda to annihilate Islam and Muslims throughout the world, these are not the people that we want to have dialogue with. So the dialogue does have a place, yes it does. But we need to know exactly where that place is and not apply this tool generally because we ourselves find ourselves inadequate to approach them in the proper way. The Allahu A'lam. Jazakallah khair. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to us, بلغوا عني ولو آية. He told us, بلغوا عني ولو آية. Teach from me what you have, even if it's only what? One verse. So the qualification of a da'i, he doesn't need to go to al-Qura, he doesn't need to graduate from Azhar, he doesn't need to graduate, you understand? He doesn't need to belong to the shuyukh of the tabliq jama'ah. He doesn't need to be a fuqaha ulama to give da'wah. No. He needs to understand La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arkan al-islam, arkan al-iman. He needs to know this and he needs to share it with the people he comes in contact with. Each of you have a different level of responsibility. But each of us have a responsibility. And nobody can say, because I did not read enough, I did not graduate from such and such, that I simply don't have the ability, akhi, to give da'wah. No. This is like the man who said, I'm hungry, but I don't have the ability to lift the fork to my mouth. He will. He will eat in any way he can because it's instinctive. And the Muslim who has consciousness about this matter, he will give dawah instinctively because he knows he must. If you don't give dawah, you will receive the dawah. If you and your family do not give the dawah, you will be receptive of the dawah. You will get the dawah of the kufr, and the dawah of the fasad, and the dawah of the dalal.